फोर्थ मंत्र यदपौं क्रूरं यदमीध्यं यदशान्तं सद् अपगच्छतात् अपां यत् क्रूरं अथवा हिंसकं यत् अमेधार्हं अशुद्धं यत् अशान्तं सोपद्रवं तत् सर्वं अस्मात् निमज्जन प्रदेशात् अपगच्छतु। As already explained earlier, these mantras are connected with bathing in the river or in a pond or a tank or a lake. After selecting a suitable spot for taking bath, which has to be done by immersing oneself in water, all these mantras are chanted. It's quite likely that the place where the person intends to take bath may not be very safe. Dirty water may flow there, or there may be other factors which may affect the serenity and the holiness of the bath itself. So this is used as a mantra to offset the effects of such situations. And according to the ritualistic traditions, while chanting this mantra, he has to draw a circle round him so that the water inside that circle is clean and pure and is endowed with the power of purifying him. So whatever is dangerous in this water, whatever is unholy, whatever may disturb our peace of mind, all such factors, spirits and evil things and dirt should vacate this spot and make it clean and holy by their absence. That is the general purport of this mantra. In the olden days, people used to take bath in a river or a tank or any other place, not in the bathroom as we do it nowadays. Hence, the importance of chanting such mantras. Incidentally, I think we can digress a little upon the topic of bathing itself as per our Dharma Shastras. Snana, especially Pratasnana, is compulsory and it is part and parcel of our daily worship connected with the worship of the Lord, Sandhya Vandanam and Agni Karya or offerings into the sacred fire. While taking bath, one is expected to do sankalpa, resolve, wherein one has to recite the tithi and the vara, the details connected with the day, on which particular day of the year and at what time, with what nakshatra and rashi he is taking bath. All that is chanted in the beginning as part of the sankalpa mantra. Then the person who is taking bath has to meditate upon the Lord and also meditate upon the various deities presiding over the rivers, Gangadi Devategalu. Every one of these rivers has a presiding deity, a protectress. After meditating upon these deities, he has to invite them into this water where he is taking bath, so that whatever be the water in which the person is taking bath, that water, after the recitation of the mantra and prayer, becomes holy, clean and pure. Though the real bath is in the mind, which can be got by thinking of the Lord, still physical bath is a great help to the purification of the mind also. Suppose the place where you sit for meditation is very dirty and you have not taken bath, the clothes are dirty, it's not possible for us to raise the mind easily to spiritual heights. But if you have taken bath and if you are wearing freshly washed clothes and the place is clean and decorated with a nice picture and flowers and incense sticks are burning, automatically it creates an atmosphere. So in the beginning, for all the sadhakas, taking bath and following the rules given for the various rituals are very necessary. And the Dharma Shastrakaras say, when a person takes bath in this way, by having the sankalpa or the resolve, then praying to the Lord, and then invoking the presence of the various deities presiding over the rivers, that bath cleanses, purifies not only the body but also the mind. Dehadi atma paryanta, that is the purification that is achieved. Purandara Dasa says in one of his songs, Tanuva neerolagaddi phalavenu manadali drida bhakti illada manujanu. A similar shloka is also there in one of the Puranas, probably Garuda Purana. Ganga jale kim na vasanti matsyaha devalaye pakshigana vasanti bhavodhitaste na phalam labhante tirthacha devayatanacha mukhyam. Fish are living in the Ganges River and any number of birds live within the precincts of the temple, but still, since they don't have that emotional feeling and devotion and attachment, they do not derive any benefit from their living in that place. So this is a general rule. That is why the mantras advise us to not only to take bath physically but also mentally, by remembering the Lord at that time and invoking the presence of the river deities. In fact, in our ashrams, wherever we do puja, before we actually start the puja, we invoke all the seven rivers into the water with which we are doing the puja. It's a very famous mantra. Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindhu Kaveri Jalesmin Sannidhim Kuru. We have to put our finger and then stir the water and repeat this mantra, and mentally imagining that these rivers are actually flowing into that water and making it clean and pure. In the Mahabharata, Udyoga Parva, Vidura gives a long discourse to Dhritarashtra, the blind king, and that part of it is called as Vidura Niti. He has dealt with various subjects there, and one of the subjects is snana, bath. And Vidura says that a person who takes bath properly will get 10 types of fruits or results or benefits. Gunadasha snanashilam bhajante balam rupam swaravarna prashuddhi sparshascha gandhascha vishuddhatacha shrihi sokumaryam, and so on. Physical strength increases, physical beauty appearance increases, the voice becomes sweeter, and then the various organs, like the organs of perception, organs of the touch, the skin, and even the smell of the body, all that will improve, and the person will gain even in kanti, or see, the general physical appearance, and also the capacity of the indriyas will increase by taking bath in a ceremonial way. The Dharma Shastras divide snana into two main groups, mukhya snana and gauna snana. It's very interesting to see how they have got into details. Many details have been worked out, whether all those details are necessary or not, but at least for gaining gaining a knowledge of the way they thought about it, we can just recount their ideas here. So the Mukhya Snana, the first is called Nitya, Snana that has to be taken every day. A person is expected to do Deva Puja, worshipping the family deity or Ishta Devata. Then there is Agnihotra, consecrated fire, and oblations have to be poured into that. Then there is also Japa, especially Gayatri Japa. All these things have to be done only when the body and the mind are clean and pure. So Snana is compulsory. These are all daily religious duties. Before doing them, one has to take Snana. So this is called Nitya Snana. It may be once, it may be twice, it may be three times. In fact, even now, Orthodox Swamis like the Shankaracharyas, they take bath three times a day. Then comes the second, Naimittika. Nimitta, due to some reason, the body is supposed to become ceremonially impure and it has to be purified by a bath. Suppose we accidentally touch the sinners or a dead body or the Upastambha or a Chandala and so on, one has to take bath. We can understand taking bath if we touch a dead body or if sinners definitely known to us that their life is not very clean and pure touches, we can understand that. But what about the Upastambha? Upastambha is supposed to be very sacred, it's part of the Yagashala. Probably, since the animals used to be tied to the Upastambha and sacrificed, that Upastambha was probably considered to be impure in this sense. So if you touch it, you have to take a bath. Then the third is called Kamya. According to astrologers, certain days, certain times are supposed to be very auspicious. So people who are interested in reaping certain benefits and fruits, they choose these astrologically auspicious times and take bath as prescribed. So, but these baths can be taken at home, not necessarily in the Tirthakshetras. Then there is Kriyanga Snana. A particular ceremonial or ritual has to be performed. As part of that, one has to take bath. For instance, suppose a person has decided to have special Gayatri Japa, Undalaksha Japa, Marti Vinta, Sankalpa, Matkondratari. Say before that and after that. Similarly, special worship arranged either in the temple or in the house, or when obsequial ceremonies connected with the dead ancestors are concerned. In all these situations, during such times, one has to take ceremonial bath as part of that kriya or ritual. Then there is another snana called Malapakarshaka Snana, and it is what we call as the oil bath, Abhyanjana Snana. That is only for keeping the body clean and pure. No religious significance is attached to that. And there is another Kriya Snana. This is taken only in the Tirthakshetras. When a person goes to various places of pilgrimage, it is compulsory, obligatory on his part to take bath in the particular river or tank or lake or the Pushkarani of the temple. It's part of the whole process of Tirthayatra. Then coming to Gauna Snana or secondary bath. First is mantra. You take a little water in your hand, chant the mantras like Apohishtha Mayo Bhuvaha, and then sprinkle on your head. So through the mantra, through the sprinkling, you become pure. It's not a regular bath, it is purifying oneself through the mantra. Then the second bath is called Bhauma. Sacred earth is taken and smeared all over the body, and then one dips into the water and takes bath. Third is Agniya. Suppose a sacrifice, a yaga or a yajna or a homa has been done, the remnants of the ashes are there, just take them and smear them over the body. That also purifies one. It's called Agniya Snana. Yajna Bhasma is smeared over the body. Then Vayavya Snana connected with Vayu or the wind. Cows were considered to be very sacred animals. Even now, we consider the cow to be very sacred. And when the cows come back home or go to the fields in the morning, running, raising a lot of dust, and if the wind brings that dust and puts it upon our body, we are cleansed and purified. That is the idea here. Then there is Divya Snana, sunbath. You simply expose yourself to the sun, but that is in Uttarayana, not always. In the Uttarayana period, January to June, during that period, if the body is exposed to the rays of the sun, that is called a Divya Snana. Then the last one is Manasa Snana. Manasam Vishnu Chintanam. If you remember the Lord in the mind, your mind becomes pure. That is as good as a bath. Apavitrah pavitrova sarvavasthangatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhakya bhyantara shuchi. It's a very famous shloka. We chant it here also before many rituals. So whether a person is pavitra or apavitra, or whatever be the state in which he is, if he remembers the Lord, he automatically becomes clean and pure. In fact, this sense of purity is actually a mental quality. In Holy Mother's life we read once, there is an old widow in Jayarambati. She used to work in Jayarambati's ashram. Once in the evening, she came, approached the Holy Mother and told her, "Ma, on the way while walking in the street, I just stepped upon something which was very dirty. Then I came to the ashram, took bath, changed the clothes. But still, I have not felt that sense of purity within me." Then Mother said, "Why don't you sprinkle Ganges water upon yourself? I have done that also. Still somehow I feel that I have not become sufficiently pure." Then the mother told her, "You touch me." And when she touched the Holy Mother, that sense, that feeling left her completely. Pavitrata sarupinya itasya ikurumo namo namaha. So when we are in the company of holy people, great people, that sense of purity that comes to the mind, it is much more than bath. So this is the Manasa Snana. It's just by the way, just to show you how the Dharma Shastrakaras have dealt with all these aspects of the subjects in detail. Then we come to the fifth mantra. Atyashanat Patipanat Yachya Udgrat Pratigrahat Tanmi Varuno Raja Parnina Hyava Marshatu. Atyashanat Atipanat Ugrat Pratigrahat Cha Yat Papam Me Tathi Varuna Raja Panina Avamarshatu. Varuna, the Rigvedic deity, is a very important deity, almost next to Indra in the Rigvedic mantras. Generally, he is considered as the king of waters. He is the adhipati, ruling over the various types and kinds of water in this universe. He is also the lord of the western quarters. But in the Rig Veda we find him extolled as Paramatman himself. He is the king for Ruta, the cosmic order, the king for Satya or truth. He can bless us if he likes, he can punish us if he likes. But it's not a question of his likes and dislikes, it's a question of our following the rules and regulations, the cosmic law, the Ruta, Dharma in our life. He is there to implement it. When we follow dharma, the path of dharma, then he is pleased with us. When we transgress dharma, he punishes us. So he is the king who meets out punishment, also gives rewards. That idea we find in the Rig Veda, in many of the mantras. Keeping that in mind, this mantra is being uttered by the Rishi. He is the king of the whole universe, he is the king of Hruta, the cosmic law according to which the whole universe is working smoothly. So if a person who has committed a sin feels repentant, sheds tears and prays to him, then he has the power to forgive them and wipe off all the effects of the sins. Paninahi avamarshatu. That Varuna, the king, let him, by touching us with his hand, destroy or wash off all the sins we have committed in our life. Now what are the sins? Atyashanat, atipanat, yachya udgrat, ugrat, pratigrahat. Atyashana, atipana, and ugra pratigraha. These are the three sins mentioned here. Eating too much, drinking too much, and accepting gifts from unworthy people. The commentators here give a slightly different meaning. They say atyashana and atipana means to eat and drink against the rules of the shastras. Shastras say you have to eat and drink only at such and such a time, and not at such and such times. For instance, one is not expected to take food or eat and drink anything before the daily rituals, say Sandhya Vandana, Agni Karya, worship of the Lord. I still remember whenever Yatishraj used to give Mantra Diksha, he would fast completely. Generally he would come around 8 o'clock and I used to keep the place ready for the puja. He would do the entire Dashopchara puja, one full hour, 8 to 9. And after the puja, the devotees who used to be about 5 to 10, not more than that, generally every Wednesday he used to give. He would make them sit to give general instructions, then call them one by one. After the whole initiation process was over, around 11, 11:30, he used to take a cup of milk. Complete fasting and complete worship. Entire Dashopchara puja. He was an expert in rituals also. He had done Durga puja and other pujas. So when that is the case with great gurus like that, what about us? So it is expected that before japa, before meditation, before Sandhya Vandanam, one has to fast, not eat anything. Of course, depending upon the health condition, suppose health doesn't permit fasting, then one can take a little milk and all, that's permitted. But if any person eats something or drinks something before fulfilling the religious duties, it becomes atyashana and atipana, and a person who does it incurs sin. Similarly, by the way, Gita says, natyashnatasthi yogosthi nachekanta manashnitaha nachati swapnashilasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. While dealing with the topic of yoga in the 6th chapter, Lord Sri Krishna says, one who eats too much, he cannot progress in the path of yoga. One who completely avoids eating, fasts excessively, he also cannot progress in yoga. One who sleeps too much, or one who doesn't sleep at all, neither of them can attain to yoga. That means extremes have to be avoided in the spiritual life. We have a very interesting story in Buddha's life. When Buddha was in the forest, Buddha was in the palace, he led a very luxurious life. When he went to the forest for tapas, he punished his body practically beyond its limits. One day he fasted for 21 days continuously, was sitting in meditation and got up, wanted to go for bhiksha, he collapsed, and then one lady, Sujata by name, gave him pudding, payasam, and then his life was saved. At that time, when he was unconscious, he had a vision. A devata appeared to him in that vision with a veena in her hand, showed the strings. They were all tuned very nicely. She was able to play excellent music. Then she loosened the strings. It was not possible to play on the veena and get beautiful music out of it. Later on, she went on tightening the strings and all the strings broke. So she said the body is like a veena. So if it is recklessly, if one recklessly immerses oneself in vishaya sukhar, vishaya bhogas, one cannot attain spiritual attainment and spiritual illumination. On the other hand, if one wants to punish the body too much, it breaks. Body becomes useless. After all, whatever we want to achieve in life, it is through the body only. Therefore, the madhya pantha, the middle path, is recommended. That's what the Gita says. So we can have that idea also here. If one eats too much, one drinks too much, against the limits given by the Shastra, you will be incurring sin, and that sin can be offset or obviated by praying to Varuna, and through his grace we can get rid of it. Ugrat pratigrahat. One who has committed sins and therefore giving out evil vibrations is a ugra. And many times people who have committed sins want to get rid of their sins by giving dana to other people. That was the custom in the olden days. Even today there are people who do like that. If knowingly a person accepts gifts from them, a part of the sin comes to the receiver. So ugra pratigraha, accepting gifts from people who have committed sins in their lives, that makes this person incur sin. And that has to be got rid of. Only by the grace of the Lord it can be done. So, ugrat pratigrahat yat papam tat varunaha raja panina avamarshatu. Whatever papa I have got by receiving gifts from unworthy people, let it be wiped out by you, through your hand. So Varuna is supposed to keep his hand on the devotee and then wipe off this effect of this sin. Sohamapapo virajo nirmukto mukta kilbishaha nakasya prushtham aruhya gachet brahmasa lokatam. Saha aham apapaha virajaha nirmuktaha mukta kilbishaha nakasya prushtham aruhya brahma salokatam gachyam. In the previous mantra, he has prayed to Lord Varuna. Suppose we take it for granted that Varuna is showing the grace. Varuna has put the hand on the head of this devotee, and all the sins are wiped out, the effects of sins are wiped out. So now this person becomes papa rahita. Along with that, something more has happened. It is not the touch of an ordinary person, it is the touch of God himself, who is karmadhyaksha and dharmadhyaksha. So when Varuna puts his hand upon the devotee, not only the effects of the sins are destroyed, even the tendency to commit sin is destroyed. That is more important. That is rajoguna. Kamayesha, krodhayesha, rajoguna, samudbhavaha, Sri Krishna says in the Gita. Arjuna asks, suddenly a man loses his balance and commits sin, falls a prey to kama and krodha. What is the reason? Ayatnavage papa madatana yatakoskara. Krishna says it is due to kama and krodha, which come up as samskaras, and they are roused in the mind by rajoguna. So when Rajoguna is destroyed, he becomes Virajaha, Virajas. Without Rajoguna, without the inclination or the tendency to committing sin, so that means he has become very, very pure.